Zechariah chapter 8. I'll be reading from the ESV Bible. Zechariah 8, we'll read the first 13 verses. So bow with me in prayer again. Our gracious God and Father, what a blessing it is that you gave us the Bible. What a wonderful reality. What a miracle. Its inspiration, its preservation down to today. We have it in our homes, in our cars, on our phones even. Lord, thank you for the Bible. And this morning, as we've just sung, we pray that in our hearts, to our minds, you would break the bread of life to us. Lord, we look to you. Only you can open our eyes to see. Only you can open our hearts to receive. And only you can take the words of a man and make them life-giving. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you to preach today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to give revelation and understanding and edification and liberation in our lives. Speak, O Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Zechariah 8, 1 through 13. And the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I'm jealous for her with great wrath, or great fury, great passion. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets who were present on the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before those days there was no wage for man or any wage for beast, neither was there any safety from the foe for him who went out or came in. For I set every man against his neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heavens shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you. And here's the text this morning. And you shall be a blessing. Amen. If you're a Christian, young person, old person, how much do you want God to make you a blessing increasingly? That's what Zechariah says here in this prophecy. Zechariah is an amazing prophecy in terms of a couple of things. Number one, it's a prophecy of several wonderful messianic prophecies. Remember some of these. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. He will grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Or this one. Behold, thy king cometh to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey. Or this one. And I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And a final glorious one. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. We know what that fountain is. The blessed cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fountain of grace to deal with sin forever. Zechariah is a very gospel-centered prophecy. But it's also a prophecy, a renewal, reviving, and new blessing to make his people a blessing. That's what we have in our text in chapter 13. The fresh, increased blessing of God in Jerusalem, so that they will be a blessing. I want to be very clear this morning that the theme of this sermon is one thing. God blesses his people so that they will then be a blessing. God is blessing Providence Chapel in these days and months, not just so we will be blessed, but that we can all the more be a blessing out there 7 days a week to each other, to our neighbors, and to our community, to the needy and the lost that are all around us, to our nation, and to the nations of the world. God can make you and us together a blessing in an increasing way. Blessed to be a blessing. That's the heart of Zechariah's prophecy here. I have 2 points, 2 major truths. Number one, God's promise blessing to us. And number two, God's command to be a blessing. First, truth number one, God's promise blessing to us. It's in verses 2-8. So if you'll focus there, God's promise blessing to us. And as we read this, you're going to see that it is evident blessing. It's observable. It's blessing that comes that can be seen. Newly increased and increasing. It's blessings that have come and are abounding in Zion among his people. Look at verse 2 again. I am zealous for Zion with great jealousy, with great wrath and fury. So the promise blessings that God says he's giving all begins with God's jealousy for his church, his peculiar, special, zealous jealousy, his passion for his church and his people. He is going to move out of his heart when his inward emotions and passion as our triune God flows. There are times when it rises up more and God says, I am going to do these things because of the jealousness and the jealousy I have for my church. Verse 2, I was zealous for Zion. So it's his holy passion for his own children and his church that fuels his heart to bring new seasons of blessing. In Ezekiel's words, there shall be, what? Showers of blessing. God promises this in the Old Testament. Now here, Zechariah mentions at least 3 evident blessings in the text. I want you, in the text, looking at it with me to see what Zechariah says God is doing. Three evident blessings. That is, three new evidences of grace, new works, new blessings that He's going to pour out as proof that He has fresh purposes for His people in Israel and for His church today. What are those new blessings? Well, see verse 2. The first one is God's presence is increased. God's presence is increased. Verse 2. I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst. This presupposes there are times of judgment and declension when God's presence is withdrawn. And things kind of become dull and lifeless and not much happening. And God lets judgment on the land, and He lets decay come. In times of judgment and declension, God withdraws. But when He says, I will return to Zion and I'll dwell in the midst, then His blessing suddenly starts again. Maybe you call it a new season of refreshing, as Luke called it in the book of Acts. But there are times when God is going, because of His glory and because of His jealousy for His church, to come again and bring seasons of blessing. And I believe Providence Chapel has been in a season of blessing. And I think some of it's been observable. If we have eyes to see it, we should see it and treasure it. And it's the presence of God among His people that brings evident, observable blessing that we partake of. Then and only then, when God returns and brings His presence and it increases, then do our prayers and our testimonies have life in them. Then is our worship real worship and not just going through the motion. Then is the Word of God, as it's preached and taught, it comes home with life and power, and it ministers to hearts right where they are, because the Lord is among us increasingly. The presence of God is increased, and the blessing is evident. And if you look down in verse 12, as the prophet says, the vine gives its fruit, there's blessing. The ground gives its produce, and the heavens will give their due. When God comes with seasons of blessing, growth and fruitfulness happens among His people, and new life is evident because of one thing: God increases His presence. All because the Lord chooses in His heart and in the heavens, He chooses at a set point in time to say, I'm going to return again. I'm going to come again and dwell in their midst. The restoring presence of God is increased. Have you sensed that in your life? Have you sensed it in our midst? Seeing the Lord do things and give freedom and joy and worship and the love of the brethren increasing. The first evidence is the increase of the presence of God. But there's a second one. Look at verses 4 and 5. The second evident blessing is God's people are increased in number. Not only is God's presence increased, but the number of God's people is also increased. Verses 4 and 5. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, O men and O women shall again sit in the streets. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Now, children, you shouldn't play in the street today. Don't play in the street. But you know, in Israel's day, in Jerusalem, there were not cars. There weren't playgrounds. So in times of peace and prosperity and blessing, the old people, old men, old women, would be sitting in the streets talking and enjoying one another with their staffs to help them rise up and walk home. And the children all around them would be playing and in, and having fun and carrying on. It was a time of peace. In times of judgment, in times of war, such activity was not happening in the streets. But here, when God comes again and He brings a season of blessing, His presence comes. The second evident blessing is God's people are increased in number. What's Zechariah saying? The people are restored again, and God begins to bring them out of the woodwork. Sometimes the elders have thought in the last year and a half, where are all these people coming from? How did they find out about us? Well, it's God. It's God moving. It's His presence bringing people. And so the numbers are increased among His people. It was certainly true in Zechariah's day, and it's true in our day as well. We should behold it. We should see it as an evident, observable blessing of God that He's with us when He brings people to us, that we need them and they need us to grow together as a temple into the Lord. We started reading Acts this morning in our morning reading. And in seasons of renewal, you want to watch for this in Acts as we read it Sunday by Sunday. In seasons of God coming, 3,000 are saved. Soon, there's 5,000 who are brought in. And then the numbers increase where Luke doesn't use the numerical number. He just says things like, a great number of the priests became obedient to the faith. And then later he says, multitudes, both of men and women, came to faith. God brought more in throughout the book of Acts because God was present and He was moving and He was pouring out His Spirit. And the numbers were growing. It's an observable blessing, numerical growth with spiritual life among us. And we should be thankful for it, brethren. And it puts on each of us more of a responsibility because there's more of us to be a blessing to as many as we can be, one-on-one. He says down in verses 7 and 8, notice this, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So young and old alike, old men, young boys, older women, younger girls, all together in the temple, loving each other. No respect of persons, no age differentiation, no segregation. We're all together the people of God, and we're a church, the temple of the Lord. And God has brought us together and is increasing that more and more as His blessing is upon us. So the increase of God's presence. Number two, the increase of God's people among us. But the third blessing, see verse 6. His marvelous works among us increase. Verse 6. Thus says the Lord, if it is marvelous, note the word marvelous, if it's marvelous in the sight of the remnant of my people, then will it not be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord. What's Zechariah focusing on? The marvelous things that happen when God increases His presence and when He increases His people to worship Him together. Marvelous things, notable things. This morning in the testimonies, notable things happen. And we're to observe those. We're to appreciate them. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice. We're to see and behold the works of God. He's doing marvelous things. That's why one of the prophets said, behold what God has wrought. We ought to always see and appreciate the works of the Lord among us and praise God for them. And it just gives me pause. Wasn't the Roman study wonderful and glorious? Those who are at the prayer meeting, in the reading and the study of a new psalm every week, I think we're up to Psalm 8 now, hadn't those been rich and wonderful? And if you've been there, they fed your soul and they gave you fuel for prayer. Doesn't prayer together on Wednesdays build you up in the faith and teach you more how to pray? These are marvelous things in our midst that many places don't even have. And we should treasure them because they are an evidence of God's blessing in our midst. Neglect not the things of grace, the marvelous things that God is doing when they're present, when they're there for you, beloved. Marvelous works of God, glorious answers to prayer, miraculous provision for some of you, just in time. Did He not do this for Israel throughout all its history? Do marvelous things. And has He not time and time again done marvelous things for you, which is an evident blessing of God that He gets the glory for? And if it's marvelous in our eyes, brethren, let's remember that these things are marvelous in the eyes of our Lord. If it's glorious to His church, is it not glorious also to the Lord of the church? He loves these amazing things that He's doing. We get the benefit and the blessing, and He gets the credit and the glory. But we need eyes to see. Glorious things of Thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. Glorious things. So truth number one, God's promise blessing to us. His presence increased. His people increased. And His marvelous works increased. I believe this has been happening since the beginning of 2020 when COVID started. We didn't have a declension in numbers. We had about 17, 18 families join us in 2020. I'm not the mathematician. The mathematician is not in the pulpit, but I know that's pretty accurate. God has been increasing and blessing and doing wonders among us. Lord, open our eyes to see the blessing. Look what we've got. So what does that mean for now, for us now, brethren? If God is bringing promised blessing. Well, truth number two, it means His command for us to be a blessing. Verse 13, God says it simply, you, Israel, and you, individually, will be a blessing. Providence Chapel is receiving evident blessing, so we are to increasingly make sure we are being a blessing. I will make you a blessing. Now, this can be viewed as a promise, and it is. It's a declaration by God about us. It's a mandate for us. It's a responsibility. It could be a mission statement. Lord, I want this to be my mission. Make my life a blessing. And that's what I'm committed to. Israel was a source of blessing to all the nations. They alone were God's people. Through them alone, Messiah came for the world's salvation. They were blessed more than any other nation in order to bless the world with the knowledge of God. To Abraham, what did He say to Abraham when He called Abraham? I will bless thee and what? Thou shalt be a blessing. As William Jay said, Christians don't go to heaven alone. David desired to bring sinners to heaven. That's when he prayed this in Psalm 51. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. David served his own generation by doing the will of God. and his life was a blessing. A redeemed life seeks to influence others. Are you doing that? A friend, Philip, brought his friend Nathaniel to Jesus. That was a blessing. That was a blessed act. The Samaritan woman brought tidings of joy to her village, and many of the Samaritans believed, not only because of her testimony, but because they heard the Lord Himself. Redeemed to be used to redeem others. Blessed to be a blessing to many. Where are we in this, brethren? Where are you in relation to becoming an increased blessing in the sphere of your life and influence? God's blessing us is meant to become ministry. It's not just to be consumed. God blessing you is meant to become ministry through you. If you want to be a blessing in the hand of God in your generation, grace poured on us so that flowing through us, He can use us. Your blessing from God is to be unto service for God. All the Lord is doing among us is not just for us. It's not for us just to take in and enjoy. Rather, it's so that our lives and the ministry of providence will result in fruitful ministry more and more, increased blessing here and far beyond. Now, brethren, let's just pause. Look at what God has given us. A wonderful church family. Resources to use for Him. Gifted brethren, gifted men and gifted ladies and gifted young people who love Christ. Opportunities for ministry are all around us, and they abound in our day. Open doors of service, needs all around us. Harvest field that's white. Burdens to be borne by us that others are carrying. Brethren to be discipled by you. Help to be rendered. Weak ones to strengthen. With all the blessing God has brought us, all the need around us, and all the much more that can be done, what's the purpose of God in giving such evident blessing to us? For us to be a means of increased blessing to others. To reach sinners, to impact Denton County, to send more missionaries, to support more missionaries, to become a house of prayer, to see mighty answers from God. Much more blessing, brethren, ought to flow out from us far and near in the days ahead. To whom much is given, much is required. From each of us, brethren, what is our identity as believers? We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're a city set on a hill. You are a child of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights. Wherever you go as a believer, you're light shining. You make a difference. You affect the room. You affect the conversation. If your light is shining, if you're seeking to be a blessing, you are having impact. You are a laborer in the vineyard. You are an ambassador to the King, a missionary on mission. A Christian is to be a channel, not a sponge. And how much are we sponges rather than intentionally making sure we're a channel of the light and love and grace and presence of Jesus Christ? Brethren, make your life, make your home, make your marriage a mission. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I just want us to see this because this came alive to me this week in such a wonderful way. 2 Corinthians 9, I want you to follow it because it speaks to this issue of our being a blessing. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 down through 12. Just read it and listen closely to it. Here it is. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, toward you. That's blessing. So that you, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may what? Abound in every good work. As it is written, He's distributed freely. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for what? For sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Blessing from God is meant to go through you and become real in the other people's lives. How much do you truly want to be an increased blessing? Do you want that? Can you determine in your heart today before the Lord, Lord, my life can be much less self-centered. My life can't just be about my home, but it can be much more of a blessing than it is. Lord, take my life and let it be. Do you want your life to be that? Do you want to fulfill the command of God, I will make you a blessing? To be an increased blessing, brethren, we must be surrendered. We must be available. We must take courage for God to use us. We must step out and take initiative to bless others. We must be intentional to have new ministry of loving, giving, sacrificial, gospel blessing to others. So this morning, I'm calling you to answer Zechariah's call. Answer your father's call through the prophet. I will make you a blessing. Can you be one more? How has he blessed you? Therefore, how can you more have a ministry of blessing? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. You shall be a blessing. Let's pray and ask God to consecrate that reality in us and seal it in our hearts, and that there would go forth from your life and our homes and our church body multiplied blessing. Father, you can work this in us in such a clear, specific, deep, real way, because you have said, I will make you a blessing. So Lord, here we are. We receive your word. Be it unto me, be it unto us according to thy word, O Lord. And let today be a day of increased blessing over the weeks and months and years of Providence Chapel. Lord, on this campus and to the ends of the earth, make us, O Lord, an increased blessing to many. For Jesus' sake, amen.